Good morning. Happy New Year on behalf of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica, the MCAJ. For the next several weeks, I will be speaking on the theme, Achieving Excellence in Ministry Through Effective Christ-Centered Leadership and Living. This theme is a vision of the Missionary Church Association for the next 5 years. Today, we will lay the foundation for our exploration of the theme. Certain key words jump out at us from it. Excellence is the first. It is a clarion call throughout the Bible. Our God is distinguished by excellence in who He is and in all that He does. Creation, although greatly marred by sin as a result of the fall, displays remarkable and incredible beauty, demonstrating the excellence and magnificence of its Creator. God's Word, His way, and His thoughts are also excellent. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Psalm 18, verse 30. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. Excellence in Christian ministry is a way of living that honors God, serves others, and reflects God's nature. It is the act of serving others and spreading the message of Jesus Christ. It means being the best we can be with God's help, doing tasks with care, skill, and honesty, utilizing the gifts that He has given us based on His divine choice. Effective Christ-centered leadership and living speak to a kind of leadership that delivers results and is modeled after the leadership style of Jesus Christ, the greatest leader who ever walked the face of the earth. John Maxwell, the best known leadership legend in our world today, said, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." From the very beginning of the Bible, this saying has been proven to be true. Not only is the importance of leadership demonstrated biblically, but also in the world of business, education, government, in the church through evangelism mission, and in law enforcement. In another famous statement, John Maxwell stated that leadership is a lid, meaning that leadership ability is a lid that determines a person's level of effectiveness. No organization, congregation, or entity can rise above its leadership. God places great emphasis on leadership, as a look at His calling and equipping of leaders will confirm throughout the Bible. The MCAJ's vision recognizes that for God's purposes to be accomplished in our time, men and women are needed to answer His call to effective leadership. Let's look briefly at a few leaders that God called in the Old Testament. We'll start with Noah. Following the fall of man into sin, evil multiplied on the earth to the extent that God decided to judge humanity with one exception. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Genesis 6, 8 to 13. God's pronouncement of judgment didn't come without hope, however, because he found a righteous man who was saved by grace, through whom he would save a remnant of humanity. God didn't choose Noah randomly. He knew that he could count on him to execute his plan. It wasn't necessarily because he was the one with the most skill, talent, or social standing. Instead, it was Noah's daily walk with God. The fact that he heard his voice and followed his lead, that made him eligible to fulfill God's purpose. In other words, Noah fitted God's profile for leadership. Noah doubtlessly had his own weaknesses and shortcomings, but he walked with God, and it was a close walk that made him righteous before the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 9. Noah's righteousness qualified him to be used by God to save the human race from destruction, and the process kept him and his family from certain death. Noah is a timeless example of the kind of person God wants to use. God is immutable. He doesn't change. And even now, he's looking for righteous leaders with whom he can work to change the world. Let's look at Abraham. God, through Noah, saved humanity from total annihilation. But that wasn't the completion of his purpose. He had much more in view. When Adam and Eve sinned and disrupted his plan in the Garden of Eden, he pronounced judgment on Satan, the instigator of the fall, and on Eve, through whose instrumentality the fall occurred. Yet in his judgment, he made a promise of the Redeemer that would deliver humanity from the curse of sin. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman was the first reference to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would be born of a virgin and would be Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7, verse 14. The second promise of the Redeemer was given to Abraham, later known as Abraham, in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. When God told Abram to leave the comfort of his home in Haran, his relatives and everything familiar to him, so that he might start afresh in another land, Abram caught the vision. God gave him the hope of fathering a great nation. In fact, God said he would become the father of many nations, notwithstanding the fact that his wife was childless. Abram felt compelled to follow this great vision, even when he had nothing else to rely on. Leaders are people of vision. An effective Christ-centered leadership is based on vision that ultimately comes from God. By observing Abraham, we can learn the principles for a God-given vision. The foremost principle, then, is that a God-given vision begins with God's priorities. God initiated the vision, not Abraham. When leaders start with God's vision, they can more easily maintain direction and keep their motives pure. Genesis 12, 1-2. As a leader, do you have a vision? How did you obtain that vision? Does it have God's priorities as the center? If it does, you can be assured that it is a vision from God. Follow that vision. Pursue it ardently. As we enter this new year, let us look to God and ask Him for His ordering of our priorities. May our vision for this year and beyond be directed by God. God bless you. We'll pick up on the other principles of a God-given vision next week.